Good morning, I'm John Michaels, and this is Forum, the longest-running talk show radio program in Sioux Falls radio history since 1977. Speaking with Sioux Falls Councilman Rex Roffing. Rex, you've been on the council now for a little while.
Well, about 3.5 years, John. It's been a lot of fun and a lot of interesting things. You know, you can never know exactly what you're getting into when you get started on this kind of thing, and I did it because I wanted to make sure that the people in Sioux Falls were represented, and I felt there was a need to progress and do some things that needed to be done. So I ran. I didn't know if I was going to win or not, but I had fun in the campaign, and we went forward and won. And now it's been 3.5 years of the first year basically learning, and the second and third year, getting some things done. It's been a lot of fun. I was out to the topping off ceremony at the event center.
Yes, and there was a lot of people there. This was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and ended up, I bet we had 100, 200 people out there. And that beam that they put up there it's just full of names, full of all the people who worked on it, and a lot of people from the city of Sioux Falls that came out to sign that beam and to say, hey, this is progress. This is what we wanted. This is what we voted on. It's on budget or under budget and on time, on schedule, and no one's gotten hurt out there. You know, no one's gotten seriously injured out there. When you're talking about a $115, $117 million project, and if you go stand in that, you're going to wonder with all those beams and all that stuff that goes into that, how somebody hasn't gotten seriously injured. But safety from Mortensen's standpoint, the people that we contract with to run it is number one, and they really promote it, and we're just very happy that no one has gotten hurt out there.
Yeah, they work up pretty high on that roof up there.
Yeah, that's 60 feet to the top of the roof from the floor. So when you if you're out there, we stood on the floor last night, which is still for the most part dirt, because they had cranes, and the last crane will be coming out of there, I'm sure, today or tomorrow or whatever. But you stand there and look at the top seats, and it looks like a long way away, but about a month and a half ago, I was up in the upper echelons of it, shall we say, right up at the top, and it's a long ways to the floor.
Well, Sioux Falls has come a long ways.
Yes, yes,
and
we have.
You can remember when downtown used to be a mall.
I do.
And
I do.
Look at how far that's come down.
You know, isn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give a little credit here to Dave Munson, our former mayor of taking the loop away. And making Sioux Falls a place that people want to come, and now with what we're spending on the River Greenway, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. There's a lot of things in the works that we need to, you know, kind of keep our fingers crossed a bit, but we're working very hard to implement and get those people to make investments in downtown Sioux Falls to make it an even better place. I'll tell you, one of the things I like to do is dream. And you talk about the mall that we had downtown, the walking mall. And I've always said, not always, but I've always dreamed about. Have you ever been out to Las Vegas where they have the roof
yeah,
on a number of downtown streets? Doesn't take away the driving, but it really makes it kind of nice to be able to do that and have a somewhat controlled atmosphere inside a part of that. And I always kind of dream about maybe doing that on Phillips Avenue, starting, you know, up above where we are now and going all the way up to Phillips of the Falls, and just kind of putting some kind of cover over that, so if it rained, and it would extend some of the life of being outside, being able to sit on the benches and have dinner, etc. So I, you know, just a dream. I don't know if anybody likes the idea or not, or that whether it's part of the plan, but it would be something that would be really unique and interesting to Sioux Falls.
Speaking with Rex Roffing, Sanford was talking about a dome over part of their complex someday.
Someday, yep.
So maybe that if you think it, sometimes it becomes reality.
That's right.
But Rex, I remember when you were way on the edge of town with the Barrel Drive-In.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I remember when we built that little place for you to broadcast from.
Yes.
What was the station? I can't even remember.
KISD.
KISD, I was going to say that. Yeah.
That was before FM.
Yeah, yeah. And we had a lot of fun out there. And the Barrel is kind of an icon around this city. But, it went away, as other icons do, and we'll be happy to have it in our memories.
For those who don't remember what we're talking about, the Barrel Drive-In used to be where Burger King in Minnesota is now.
In Minnesota, across from the Coke plant.
Started as, it looked like a barrel when it started with Mr. Egan back in 1939. Right. And you were kind, they owned it right up until, what, 73 when you bought it?
Well, yeah, they had part of it. Yeah, that's right. And yeah. then we got caught in a little bit of a problem with Nixon's price freezes and things and a lot of other things happening. And it changed hands again.
So. Well, you could buy a keg burger for, what, 90 cents, I think, back then.
Oh, it was less than 45 cents.
45 cents.
45 cents, yep. Yeah.
And you had turtle malts.
Turtle malts, turtle sundaes.
Turtle sundaes.
Turtle sundaes.
And was it some kind of special glazed hot rolls or something like that?
Oh, yeah, we made our own caramel rolls.
Caramel rolls.
In the morning. And I remember the lady who did that. Oh, man, they were good. You wanted to be there when they first came out of the oven, too.
Well, I remember kids would kind of smoke their tires, and you'd come running out with a broom and bat them.
Yeah.
But those were the good old days, soup balls. And then you worked insurance for quite a few years.
Yes, I've been in the insurance business for almost 40 years. Retired recently and having fun with my grandkids and doing the things that the honey-do list around the house.
And Augustana alum.
Yeah, Augustana alum, too. Also, been very active with in a number of areas, but especially the soccer community in Sioux Falls, as you may or may not know. In fact, right now we're in the process of making a bid for the 2016 regional tournament to come back to Sioux Falls. And we're working closely with the CVB and the Parks Department and Police Department, et cetera, to put that bid together so that we can, do some economic development and promote soccer in Sioux Falls, too.
Well, maybe we could bring some of the NCAA away from Omaha and bring that up here, too, some of the women's volleyball and a lot of different activities.
I know they're going to the bid for the NCAA things in a week or so. And they are really hepped up about getting some tournaments up here. And the more we improve, the more facilities we have, and that kind of thing, the better off we're going to be. It's going to be a great sports venue here in Sioux Falls.
And the Pentagon, some people thought that might compete, but it's just like I say, it just the more you build, the more they come.
That's right. And what it'll do also is increase the ability and the ability of our kids to increase their skills and allow them to go on to bigger and better schools, if you will, and to become better athletes and better people, because I know that's part of the process, too. One of the things I always said when my kids were growing up is that, you got to be involved. And if you're not involved in sports, or then you're going to be involved in debate, or you're going to be involved in declam or music or something like that, because that's how people learn to be part of society and to work with other people, and it's so important to be able to do that.
Well, after all we've seen with the gridlock in Washington, Sioux Falls government is really operating the way it's meant to be.
We would hope so, yeah. We have our spats, if you will, every once in a while between the administration and mayor and the council. But for the most part, we worked them out, and we come away with a better city in the long run. At least that's what we're hoping, and that's what everybody's trying to do, is especially on the council anyway.
Well, Councilman Rex Rolfing, the urban aspect was one of your first projects, and I don't think you realized that was going to be such a so many meetings and so much. You really raised something that people really got involved with.
That's right. Yeah, we did, and it was kind of given to me, I don't know, to get it off the list in my land use committee meeting, and I formed a task force, and we did some different things there that I hope some other people will, and I think the people have appreciated once we did it. And that was number one, we did not just ask people to come, or we formed a committee or task force that was some pros, some against, and some people from that had some expertise in the area. And we had about eight or nine of us that were on that, and it worked out very well. Secondly, one of my main premises was that I didn't want to have a great big fight, if you will, have people come in and say, this is the way it's got to be because of this, or this is the way we believe, and you've got to do this, and have 3-4 meetings of just people coming in and talking to us. What we decided to do was to bring in the experts first, and we had about 5 or 6 experts on this tenant subject, and they came in and talked to us. Then we started putting the ordinance together, and once the ordinance was put together, then we asked for input from the people, and you know, it was just amazing. Just amazing how well that worked, because people then said, you know, what you're doing is just about what we think, or if you tweak this word or these added this word to this, and most of the time we said, hey, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that. Let's include that in the ordinance. And so by doing that, it did take a little longer, and we were interrupted with some summer activities and different things like that, but it took a little longer, but we came away with a very good ordinance, I think, that allows people to have some animals, but not to be intrusive on other people's privacy, et cetera.
I think we got more chickens now than before you started.
Probably. But they know how many, mm-hmm. and they know how they got to be taken care of. And we should not have a problem with, odor and nuisances and things like that because of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the way it should work. In other words, it came out better than before.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what's on the table now that we're talking about?
Oh, one of the main ones you've probably been reading about is the taxi ordinance. Mm-hmm. In fact, this morning I just read the Argus's editorial about not having to force cab owners to work 24 hours a day or be open 24 hours a day. That's going to be one of the main contentions as I think we go through. But for years, you know, we only had, I think it was 2 or 3 cab companies in town.
Oh, yeah, and forever.
Forever, yeah. And all of a sudden now we start becoming a bit of a city, and we need to have some regulations or some oversight. And I'm not one for bigger government. Please, don't want to do that. But I also realize that as a city councilor, I have a responsibility to make sure it's safe for people to get in those cabs. You shouldn't have to take your life in your hands, so to speak, in a car that isn't up to date, isn't safe, et cetera, et cetera, hasn't been inspected. And you shouldn't have to negotiate the fare or be overcharged when you do get into a cab. And so from those standpoints, I know that Councillor Anderson Jr. is in his committee, is looking at this, looking at it hard. And I think we'll come up with an ordinance that is fair and good for competition, because that's an important part of the free market system, but also gives safeguards to the people of Sioux Falls that they need and I think want.
I think we got 22 different cabs.
Something like that right now.
And a lot of them, you know, they put a sign on that says cab or a light on top, and they probably do all right, but they all come out at night when there's a lot of people wanting to get home or ride home from the hotel or the bar or whichever.
Yep.
And that's kind of the main income for the ones that are running, you know, maybe multiple cab, you know,
that's right.
drivers in
that's
that
right.
and have a lot of overhead. So there's questions on all sides of that.
Yep.
But some communities, I think Omaha or some of the others, have a central dispatch where they, you know, you call the number for a taxi and then they dispatch it to the other companies or whatever, too. So, like I say, maybe we'll come out, like I say, with like the urban, we'll come out with something good and better.
Might be something that the cab companies can work out on their own and have a central dispatch, something I don't know that I would propose that being a city situation, but it might be something that, they could work on together to save everybody money on dispatch and then progressively give them... given that thing. I thought about that myself, and that's one of the options I'm sure we're looking at.
Well, to make things safe and to serve.
That's right.
The Operation Timber Strike didn't cost as much as they thought it was. Are we going to give some of that FEMA money back?
come on, John. You said you were going to give me powder puffs here.
Well, that's something where there's sometimes you can't give it back. I mean,
well, I don't know that we're going to be able to give it back at this point. We've accepted it. You know, it's in the coffers, if you will. It's in the general fund. It cost us about, I think it was $8.3 million, mm-hmm. and of which 75% of that we're going to get back, or about 85% of it. 85-90% of it from either the state or the federal government. I'm really torn on this one. I'm really torn because we've got some situations that we can handle,
mm-hmm.
and we should, without having to go to FEMA, but this one was pretty drastic. When you're talking about $8-9 million, that drains our reserve funds, excuse me, so that if something would happen down the line where we, and I'm one of those that believes that eventually this money is going to dry up. The federal government isn't going to be able to continue to bail everybody out, so to speak. And so I think it's good that we have the money back in reserve. If this kind of thing happens again, we're going to have to look at it. But I can just about guarantee you, if things keep going in Washington the way they're going right now, they just flat out won't have the money to help.
We're not going to be getting any more grants for transit like we have before. Maybe we could, you know, move it over to that a little bit. Yeah. But I think that's probably one of the best ideas I've ever heard in the last couple of years, is your ideas about having the buses run at night.
Well, thank you. And that, quite frankly, something that they came up as a. I was proposing an amendment that would have continued the paratransit to 10 o'clock at night, and or nine, yeah, 10 o'clock at night. And we worked through with the people there to not only do that, but to increase the amount of time that the buses are going until 10 o'clock at night, also the regular buses, so that people, you know, some of the people on paratransit aren't. In need of the paratransit itself. They're riding because one of their friends is, or they're willing to be able to just get it for one reason or another, and use that as a I don't want to say a cab service, but a service of that they need. And so, but they're not really disabled enough to have to be in a wheelchair or that kind of thing. And so they can ride the city bus as long as it's riding, mm-hmm. as long as it's running. And that's been one of the problems. So we've kind of talked about that, and this seemed to be a good compromise, number one, for a year, so we can study a little bit longer. And in fact, we're going to start that process Friday. I have a meeting with some of the people to set up some things. And then secondly, it'll give a good indication of a year if we have ridership enough on the bus situation where we can continue that. So it'll be a study also.
Well, I have to say, you know, my van, the fuel pump went out, and they said it was $600 for a fuel pump.
Hmm.
and that's without the, you know, the installation. And I said, well, the heck with it. I'm last 3 months, I've been riding the bus. Mm-hmm. I can, as a senior, I get the senior discount. I ride the bus.
You can't be a senior.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
But the, got to be 65. I mean, a real senior. I ride the bus to work and back, and anywhere I can go to the mall, I can go to the movies, I can go downtown, I can do anything I want. And you know, if you get used to it, it's, you know, I get to work in 10 minutes when yep. once, you know, and they're building a shelter right across from where my apartment is, a bus shelter. So, you know,
even in the winter, you should be okay.
$12.50 a month. That's $144 a year. That's less than my license plate.
Yeah.
And I'm meeting a lot of good people on the bus. I mean, a lot of people think you got to be poor or old or whatever to ride the bus, but there's a lot of neat people on the bus. In fact, one lady got on, and one of her coins that she put in was Canadian, and it came, you know, back out. Clicked it back out. And I saw three people reach in their pocket to give her a dime. That's the kind of people that ride the bus, and they get to know each other. And a lot of people are wheelchair, and it only takes a minute to get everything hooked up. But they take their wheelchair, they'll ride the bus to work, but they may work till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night.
That's
and
right.
Instead of then having to call paratransit, which I think
much easier to
they can, if the bus is running, they of course they'll ride the bus.
Yeah.
And I think paratransit, the cost per person was like $25, and the cost per person for them to ride the city bus was like $3.
It's $7.
$7. Well,
makes a lot of sense. Yeah. The paratransit system eats up half the budget of the transit system, just the paratransit. And the other half is the regular bus routes. And so when you consider that, my goodness, we're putting on. But that's one of the things that Sioux Falls is doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that one of the reasons, and we looked at that and said, this is one of the reasons that our people from out in the country areas, out in the agricultural areas, when they retire, they move to Sioux Falls. For one of the main reasons is our healthcare system, and
yes.
when they can get on and do the paratransit and this kind of thing, and they know it's there, that's a real attraction, and you know, we'll take all those kind of people that we can get. in Sioux Falls because they're usually good citizens. And they love being part of the community, and they're going to be good citizens all the way around. So we've got to look at it from that standpoint, too. All kinds of things that are going on with the transit system. And, you know, as we get bigger and bigger, and I can remember when I was a kid that we lived on 33rd and 1st Avenue, and that was the end of the city.
Mm-hmm.
That was really the end of the city.
Lewis Southgate was kind of the...
Lewis Southgate wasn't even there.
Yep.
Yeah, it was still downtown at that point. And
well, there was the township of South Sioux.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 41st Street was a gravel road.
Yep, exactly right. And South Sioux wasn't, South Sioux School, I believe, wasn't even part of the Sioux Falls School District.
Mm-hmm.
It was on its own or something along those lines. And so it was, it's quite a deal to look at what Sioux Falls has done and become. And as you said, the inner area here, we're going to find more and more people who do what you do, say, hey, I can rent a car if I need to go out of town. But for in mm-hmm. Sioux Falls, if we can provide a good bus system, transit system, then they can get around this city. And that's what we're going to need. We've been talking. I know one person has been talking to me about running transit shuttles to the outlying cities that are have people that work, a lot of them work in Sioux Falls. So you're talking Brandon, you're talking Harrisburg, you're talking T, you're talking Hartford. And, you know, that might even be something that we'll look at in the future that just runs an express bus, let's just say out to Harrisburg, and picks the people up at a certain time. They can park their car or they can get there, and then we'll bus them downtown. And at 5, 6 o'clock, and do one more.
I was paying $12 a week just in parking tickets. When you work downtown, you know you're going to get one or two a month.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was paying $30 a week for gas, and then insurance and everything else. $144 a year. I can get to work and back anytime I want during the day. And last year, there wasn't one day that the buses didn't run. You don't have to worry about if it's going to start in the morning in the cold winter.
Yep.
You don't have to scrape that ice off the windshield. And you get on it, you know, my air conditioning compressor went out in my van a year ago. Well, the buses are air conditioned.
Yep. And they're heated in the summertime, in the wintertime, when you get on them, they're nice and warm.
You get on them and they're nice and warm. And that's what I'm saying is it takes basically right in front of where I live to two blocks from where I work. More people should really look at riding, especially the people in Hartford and Harrisburg. And like you mentioned, Brandon and if they had... In the future, plans for light rail. That would really, you know, if all you had to do was get on the, we used to have trolleys.
Yeah, I know.
There was a trolley that went to West Sioux.
There was a trolley that went out to East Sioux Falls.
Yep, and a trolley went to Augustana.
Yeah.
And that's what the old power plant was down by the falls, was for the city electrical system for the transit. And so we got a history there. In fact, Summit Avenue goes by Augustana, was built, there's a heavier load limit on that because it was built for back when trolleys were there. They had the heavier cobblestone underneath there.
Okay.
But what I'm getting back to is Sioux City just had to buy four buses because they didn't get federal grants anymore. They had to buy four used buses from Los Angeles, which all four buses had a quarter million miles on them.
Mm.
Now, you and I both know they're going to probably pay more in maintenance over the time, but they had to, do a stopgap on that. But the maintenance on those over a period of time, the buses we've got, if you buy them new, they do last forever.
They will last. I think it's in excess of 10 years. I know that they're looking at those lasting, and we do get some help. What happens? We're coming up on a major milestone, if you will, in the next 10 years probably, where we're going to hit 200,000 population.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, everything changes. Then we as a city are responsible for running, and we are responsible now, but we don't get federal grants and federal aid for transit like we do before, but like we are right now. But what the story is that I'm told is that will reverse from money being given to us to run the transit system to money giving to us for equipment. So they will kind of reverse it. But, I'm just trying to remember the exact figures, but I think it's an $8 million bill every year for us to run the transit system, five of which we pay for. The rest of it's grants and federal funds. And so it's a very expensive thing for us to do. But it's kind of like, you know, there are things out there that cost us money that are for the better of the city. You know, look at how many things that we get for free. Our park department. Our parks are some of the best in the nation. We've been accredited. Those people have worked their tails off to give us good parks, good softball complex, good soccer complexes, good
we never have
everything.
Enough.
We never have enough, but the ones that we have are really good.
I think we got, 77 parks?
Oh, something like that. You know, the goal is within a half a mile of every house. And we're with the new parks that are proposed, we're going to be back in that situation. And then you look at things like the Washington Pavilion. We subsidize that a little bit. But, you know, what good? That brings more money back into Sioux Falls in tax revenue than we spend on it.
Yeah, no pavilion can live on their own. They have to be subsidized.
There are people who believe it should. I'm not one of them.
There's not one in the country that really does.
Look at our swimming pools.
Mm-hmm.
We subsidize the swimmers tremendously every year, and no one complains about that. And so we need to take that and realize that there are just some things that we're going to do that cost us money that are for the betterment of Sioux Falls.
That's why I like where I live now. It's an apartment complex, Crestview, which is right by Frank Olson Park, right by a swimming pool. It's like a country club because I got 14 acres of park. My dog loves it.
Yep.
But getting back to the buses, here's my idea, Rex, is that there's no buses at night. Well, in the future, maybe we can, but more people work night shifts now. Mm-hmm. But if we had a bus that just, there's going to be 3 Walmarts. They're open 24 hours a day. There's Walgreens that are open 24 hours a day. There's other things that are open 24 hours a day. If we just had a bus that went in a circle around town every hour overnight, maybe it could be sponsored by Walmarts or whichever. But you can go to Walmart and get some groceries and get back home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had to get from one side of town to the other, you could go to Walmart and go to the other Walmart and at least get across town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot cheaper to take a taxi when you get across town than it is to go across town. But, just one every hour there'd be a bus that'd make a circle between West Walmart and East Walmart, and then now it's going to be a North Walmart and someday a South Walmart, you know. It's warm inside, and Walmart would probably get a lot of people, you know, buying groceries there.
Yeah. It's an interesting idea, and I'll bring it over to the SAM people.
Maybe somebody would even sponsor it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of immigrants now that work at night at Morrell's or whichever, and I can remember when Morrell's was our main industry.
Oh yeah,
but now it's medical, and it, like you say, a lot of people come to Sioux Falls because of that. A lot of veterans, because we got one of the best veterans centers in the country here.
Yep.
I knew a guy that from Wagner who works in Washington D.C., but he doesn't go to Walter Reed. He comes back to the Sioux Falls VA.
Yeah, and see, those are all things that we work on and we want to work on and we want to make better. And as we grow, you know, these are really fun problems to have when you consider what Detroit might have or what, some of those cities.
Detroit's got to tear down like 20,000 rundown properties.
Yeah, right, and we don't have to do that.
I think, Rex, we're at the right place at the right time and probably the best place in the country. Right now.
I would agree with you.
But don't tell anybody that.
Well, no, we want to, you know, that's one of our biggest problems, John, and let's touch on that,
mm-hmm.
is people. We need qualified labor force.
And
we don't, you know, we've got a 3% unemployment rate right now. And if anybody knows economics, has studied economics, they know that that's basically zero unemployment because 3% of the population can't work because of health, medical, whatever reasons, they can't work. So we've got basically a market here that is saturated, and we don't have enough people to work. So we need to bring in, and that's why the University Center, Augustana, Sioux Falls College, University of Sioux Falls, boy, that dates me, doesn't it? And all these other educational situations around here are needed and needed to grow so that we can have the workforce that we need to be able to say to a major corporation who might want to come in here and establish something saying, yep, you know, we might have a problem saying we've got the workforce for you right now.
Well, on the crossroads of two interstates from Mexico to Canada, you can get on I-90 in Buffalo.
Yep.
So really, or Washington, you know.
Out in Seattle area.
In Seattle area. So Rex, you know, what's the one thing that people can do to help you right now?
Keep giving us ideas. And let us know if we're doing something wrong in a polite way. And let us know if we're doing something right.
Get down there and talk to the city council.
Be involved.
Councilman Rex Ralphing, want to thank you for being with us on Forum.